In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
We continue now with Matthew 9, verse 36. "And when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Oh, this is still true. This is still true. There are many, many, many priests, many, many, many ministers, many, many, many workers in the parish, but the laborers are few. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. One of the saints tells us that on the Feast of St. Luke. I'll read it to you on another day. We get a lot of priests, a lot of bishops, a lot of people that are in the church, a lot of ministers that are Protestant and Pentecostal and Baptist, and we have a lot of them, a lot of them, a lot of them. But the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest send out laborers into the harvest. Not necessarily clergy, but laborers. Laborers. You don't need to be a clergyman to be a laborer. Every clergyman is not a laborer. Every Baptist minister is not a laborer. Every Catholic priest is not a laborer. I don't say that. One of the saints told us that, and I'll read it to you one day. It's on the Feast of St. Luke. But then you might find a little person who's a laborer. She's been given this gift. She has compassion. She has compassion upon the harassed. She has compassion upon the helpless. She'll listen to people for hours. She's one of the laborers. She's one of God's people. One of God's people who cares after the heart of Jesus. She doesn't care about filling her pockets up with silver. She cares about God's people. She'll listen to people. They'll call her on the phone. She's a laborer. She's not a clergyman. Oh, no, she doesn't get a salary. But she's a laborer. And she's out for the people that are Jesus are out for. The broken, the harassed, the needy. And listen to the next verse, chapter 10. "And then Jesus called to himself 12 and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every infirmity." Oh, yes. The first thing Jesus does is give them authority to break the power of the devil, because the devil is real, because he harasses God's people. Because people have been cursed. Because people have been cursed. I couldn't tell you how many people come to me and tell me, "I have been under a curse." They know it. And they even know the person who did it. Oh, yes. And then there are the people who are abused. Those poor people that are abused sexually. And they can't get through until they forgive their abuser. They can't get through until they forgive their abuser. Nothing will happen to them until they forgive the one who abused them. You see, these are the people that Jesus cares about. These are the sheep that are helpless, and the laborers are still few. The laborers are few. Who has a heart after Jesus? Jesus cared for the people that were without a shepherd, the ones that were harassed, the ones that were infirm. Jesus did not look for the dignitaries. He looked for those who could not help themselves. And he ministered to those and gave the 12 power to minister to those same people. And then, who did Jesus choose? This is very interesting because you know what? None of these people would ever be chosen in any theological seminary today, Catholic or Protestant. First, there was Simon Peter, my Lord. He couldn't get through the door. Then there's Andrew. They call him a fanatic because the only thing he can say is, I'm going to lead people to Jesus. So they call him a fanatic. Then there's James, the son of Zebedee, and John. These people are too high-strung. They want to call fire from heaven. So please, these are crazy people. Then there's Philip and Bartholomew. Oh, yeah. Philip and Bartholomew, he sits under fig trees, you know, meditating on leaves, you know. And Philip, show us the Father, and Jesus looks at him and says, have I been with you so long? Then there's Thomas, poor Thomas. Let us go with him that we might be killed with him. He was being sarcastic. Not only is he a doubter, but he's sarcastic. Then there's Matthew, the tax collector who works for Rome. My Lord, maybe he'd be accepted to a Protestant or a Catholic seminary, because he knows how to get money. James, the son of Alphaeus, and then there's Simon, the Canaanian, and then there's Judas Iscariot. He might get accepted too because he's so wise. He knows how to. He's got that kind of an exacting mind. I don't know, but I do know this: these were not the people that you would see on the board of any church or any diocese. These are people that don't fit any place. And what does Jesus do with the untouchables, the unfittables? Listen, these 12 Jesus sent out, charging them to go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. They had a job, to go to the lost sheep of Israel. And preach as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. And listen to the next one. You receive without pay? Then give without pay. You don't charge. You don't charge. You don't charge. So Jesus gave them power. He gave them authority. These nobodies, to heal the sick, cast out demons, cure lepers, to raise the dead. No, come on. We need to. I was saying to the people on Saturday, I said, you know what? If I was just a person reading the New Testament, and I started to see all the things Jesus did, and I read the New Testament right through, and I saw all these things Jesus did, and then I went to a local church. Oh, it could be Catholic, it could be Protestant, it could be anything. And nothing happened. You know what I would say? These are fairy stories. These are stories. None of this happened. This is not historical. This is just kind of a story. And I could really defend that by saying, because nothing's happening anyplace else. Oh, yeah, they have pizza parties. Yeah, they do. They have pizza parties. Is that nice? They have pizza parties for the young. Oh, yeah, they entertain the young. That's right. Oh, yeah, they entertain the old. That's right. They go down to the gambling places. That's right. But where are the sick healed? Where are the lepers cleansed? Where are the dead raised? They've been given authority. Where's the authority today? I'd say this is foolishness. This is foolishness. This is not true. And yet Jesus said, signs like these shall follow those who believe. That's what Jesus said. They cast out devils, they heal the sick, they lay hands upon. That's what Jesus said. He wasn't saying that about just the apostles. If you remember, St. Paul was stoned, and his disciples, the people, got around and made a circle, and he got up. He was stoned, left for dead. It wasn't just the apostles that prayed. It was everybody that prayed. But you see, you know, this is so foolish. There's a big disconnect between what Jesus did and what we do. And, you know, I would find it hard to believe. But thank God we have stories. We have stories. Father Joshi said to me this week, Mary Crisafi had two miracles. There was an operation that was canceled. She was supposed to have another operation on Saturday. He said that was canceled. And a drug that she was taking in the hospital, that was taken away from her. She didn't need it anymore. He says she had two miracles this week. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Mary Crisafi had two miracles this week. I called her yesterday. She was jumping in the hospital room. She was telling everybody in the hospital, I've had miracles. But there was somebody to pray for her. Father Joshi could pray for her. You understand what I'm saying? Someone who believed. Someone who knew that God can do things. Someone who can say, yes, Mary, things stink right now, but we're going to believe for God. We're going to do things that only God can do. Where are these people? Like, where are these people? They're few and far between. They're few and far between. First, you've got to listen to the broken. First, you've got to listen to the destitute. First, you've got to care for them. And then you heal them. Because, you know, it's too easy just to go and pray. Because they've got something on their heart. And they deserve to be listened to. I don't know if you know that. People deserve to be listened to. And no one wants to listen today. No one wants to care today. You know, no one wants to care today. We just want to make it fast. Oh, yes, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, then you give without pay. For behold, Jesus says to them, I send you out as sheep among wolves. In other words, be careful. Because you people are helpless. The only shepherd you have is me. And you're going into a world that wants to eat you up, that wants to knock you down, that wants to persecute you. So I tell you, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Don't be stupid. Be wise as serpents, because they'll want to eat you up. You have not been educated, but I'm giving you a course in education. You are being sent like sheep in the midst of wolves. It's still like that. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. You know, I want to tell you, on Saturday, we went to a day of retreat for the Spanish people. It was at St. Anne's in Somerville. I just want to tell you, the leadership there is so wonderful. They've got these people worshiping God, praising God. It's like walking into heaven. It's like here we have the presence of God. Isn't this beautiful? And you know what makes me sad? This is what makes me sad. Here I have all these people, all these beautiful Mexican faces. In front of me was this new infant, gorgeous. She must have been maybe 9, 10 weeks old. Not one sound during the 2 or 3 hours that I was there. Not one sound did she make. Not one sound. As people are worshiping, as people are praying, as people are being blessed, not one sound. And you know what? You know what makes me crazy? I'm going to tell you. This makes me crazy. Here we have all these beautiful people. And not one priest. I'm not even saying a priest to help them. A priest to catch the fire that they have. Because I'm going to tell you, I get more help there than I give help. I get more help there than I give help. Oh, yes, I'm a priest. But there's such life there. My gosh, if there's a priest that's feeling like a penny waiting for change, go to St. Anne's in Somerville on Wednesday or St. Joseph's in Somerville on Saturday night. Just go and sit. Sit in the presence of God. Sit under the anointing where these young people and these old people come to worship God. And they go on for hours. Because they're in love with Jesus. Sit there. Sit there. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. And if you don't want to go looking as a priest, put an old pair of dungarees on and go sit. Just go sit. Don't go and judge them. They don't need judging. They've been judged enough. They need someone that's going to love them, going to receive what they have. I'm going to tell you, they've got something. They've got something that I don't have. at this point. They've got something. The Lord is working amidst them in a marvelous way, and it's so wonderful to see. But who are these people? These are the broken. These are the dispossessed. These are the ones that Jesus ministered to. These are the ones like sheep without a shepherd until Jesus comes. These are the people that, you know, you don't want on your parish council because, you know what, they're not very influential. But you want to know what? They're influential with God. They call down heaven. Now, I don't understand this. I don't understand this at all. If I were the head of the Charismatic Renewal, I'd go there. Listen, I'm Papa of the Charismatic Renewal. I've got the right to say what I say. You want to know what I mean? I'm not part of it anymore, but I'm Papa. We're the ones that brought it to birth. God used us to bring it to birth in the power of the Holy Spirit. We were the ones that we used, and we saw the great miracles, and we saw the great signs, and we saw the great people coming. It wasn't a coffee clutch. It was a powerful experience. People were converted. People came to know Jesus Christ. People were praying for healing, and people got healed. People started to realize their baptismal dignity. No more. No more. As one friend of mine said, at one time, Charismatic Renewal throughout the world started fires. Now, whenever there's a fire, they put it out because they can't control it. That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. I'll tell you, if I had anything to do with Charismatic Renewal, I'd take my people to those beautiful Spanish people that love God, that are anointed with the Holy Spirit, so that people would know what it is to have freedom in the Spirit again. Freedom in the Spirit. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Do not return to a yoke of slavery, St. Paul says to the Galatian community. For the Spirit sets us free. The Spirit of God sets us free. It doesn't bind us. Sets us free. Some people say they're emotional. Well, you know what? We should get some of that emotion. You know the old song, I second that emotion. They're much more than emotional. There's the power of God there. They're much more than emotional. There's the power of God there. But you know what? Who are these people? They're the broken. They're the poor. They have no money. You know, they're not the beautiful people. Oh, they're beautiful to me. I tell you, they're beautiful. I see them as gems in a treasure chest called the Lord's heart. Gems, beautiful. I'm sure they're sinners just like me. I'm sure. But there's something in them. Their poverty reaches out to God, and God comes with the great kiss and brings his presence to his people. Oh, yeah, they're emotional, all right. They've got it. They've got it. They're not afraid to worship God. They're not afraid. They bring their children. They bring their grandmother. And they're hungry. I'd say, I'd go there. I'd go there. I'd go there. That's where the fish are. That's where we should be fishing. That's where the fish are. These are going to be your next priests. You're not going to get them from the gringos. And if you get them from the gringos, how many of them are going to be like Jesus that has compassion on the crowds, that sees the dispossessed, the broken, the helpless, the harassed? You see, these little people know what it is to be harassed and broken and dispossessed. And there, the odds for them to minister to the dispossessed and the broken and the helpless are greater than the gringo. Unless the gringo is like me, like an old Charleston chew bar that's in frozen and broken in 5 million pieces. I don't understand people. I'll go wherever there's life. Wherever there's life. You want to know why? Because I need it. I need it. And they have it. And I'm going to tell you, we don't. Even our groups, they fizzled out. What we had in 1997, we don't have in 2011. That's real. That's the truth. What we had in 1998, we don't have in 2011. That's the truth. And I'm the leader. And that's the truth. Oh, people were coming. And people were being blessed. And people were free. And people were dancing. And people were jumping. And we were called crazy. Hallelujah. They stopped calling us crazy. You know why? Because somehow, it's all gone. Or most of it's gone. Not like it was. That's true. And it's not that I'm putting a kibosh on it. I don't put a kibosh on it, that's for sure. But I can't make it happen. No, I've tried so many times. You can't make it happen. Go where it's happening. And it's happening on Wednesday night at St. Anne's in Somerville. It's happening on Saturday night at St. Joseph's in Somerville. It's happening there. Go there. Go get blessed there. It's happening there. They're not afraid. They're worshiping God. Heaven is seeping in. Love is coming in. Jesus is there. They're the broken, the dispossessed, the needy, the poor. And you know what? They will always be the ones that people will go by because they don't have anything in their pockets like to enhance us. And they're not connected with the legislators. And they're not connected with famous people. Yeah, they're just connected with Jesus. That's it. They got nothing else but Jesus. And you know, we found something beyond Jesus. People who have stuff. People that can get us ahead in the world. Give me a break. A royal break. Listen, we are going to be at the Espousal Retreat House this Wednesday, January 19th, and we will be there for 4 weeks. This Wednesday, 7:30, the Espousal Retreat House, and you're welcome to come. Come and bring your pots and pans. Come ready to dance. Come ready to jump. Come ready to show some emotion. You know, we need some emotion. I second that emotion. We need some emotion, for heaven's sake. We're like the living dead. Living dead. It's so sad. You know what you do with a dead person? I'll tell you one of two things. You either bury him or you have a resurrection party. That's one of two things you do with a dead person. Because you know what? If they continue to stay dead, they're going to stink. They're gonna stink. Rigor mortis will set in. And their body will start to decay. You can't keep them around. You gotta put them under the earth. Or burn them up or do something. Well, you know what? There's still hope. Wherever we're going, Espousal Retreat House, January 19th. That's this Wednesday. And for the next 3 Wednesdays after that. Bring people. Bring the dispossessed. Bring the broken. Bring the needy. Bring the poor. And let's worship God the way he deserves to be worshipped. Let's forget about the past and the future. Let's look to heaven. Let's look to Jesus. Let's look to his love for us. Let's look to his presence for us. Let's look to him who called us and called us when we were nothing and we're still nothing apart from him. For apart from him, we can do nothing. So are you coming this Wednesday, the Espousal Retreat House? Are you coming? Are you going to bring people? Are you going to tell people? Are you going to be just like when we say, how many want to go to the abortion mill? And oh, they call up, 6 or 7, and no one ever shows. No one ever shows. Because you know what? Oh, will I have to bring quarters for the meter? Do I have to take the train? Will you serve us lunch? Please. Wimps. We're a bunch of wimps. And today they're killing children if that place is open.
they're killing children, and we're just kind of, you know, we can't go out of our way because we're the chosen frozen. We're so beautiful. God loves us. Give me a break. This Wednesday at the Espousal Retreat House, you're welcome to come. 7:30. And bring people. Yes, bring people. Yes, bring people. Yes, bring people. Yes, bring people. I want to thank people that have been so generous in our Christmas collection that we send out 4 letters a year, and people have been so generous. I want to say thank you so much. We could not do this work without you. January, I believe, Alice Lavin will tell me what date it is. It's like the 20th or the 21st, or something like that. We were on WEZE for 27 years. On January 6th, it just passed. We're on WROL for 26 years. We've been on in St. Louis for 26 and a half years. Only God knows how he does these things. But he does them through the Holy Spirit, and he has blessed us through you. And I am forever grateful, for we cannot get the word of God out without you. So thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will be celebrating Mass for everyone who gave us something. Everyone, everyone, everyone. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.